Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to now call the General Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from staff in the clerk's office. Please note that confidential session item ADM 2016-02 regarding TAP Land Holdings Incorporated settlement of claim has been withdrawn and will come forward at a later time. We'll now go through the items on the agenda. Are there any members of council who wish to disclose a pecuniary interest? Seeing none, the next item on the agenda is consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the recommended motions for the staff reports and the notices of motion. Members of general committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your button, request to speak. And the first person on the list will be afforded the opportunity to speak first to them. If an item is not held, the motion that is printed in the staff report is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion on the item will take place this afternoon. The recommendation will go forward to council for our consideration at the next meeting. Delegations, there are no delegations scheduled for today's meeting. The next item on the agenda is staff reports. ADM 2016-03 regarding recommendations for appointment to the Board of Management of the Bolton Business Improvement Areas. Any holds? Seeing none, to the next, CIO 2016-01 regarding sign variance, Alton Public School, Ward 1. Any holds? Seeing none, CS 2016-06 regarding Bolton Business Improvement Area proposed 2016 operating budgets. Any holds? Councillor Mezzapelli. PW 2016-02 regarding status report, Johnson Barn. Any holds? Councillor DeBoer. Recommendations of advisory committees. There are no recommendations from advisory committees at this point in time. The next item on the agenda is notice. The next item on the agenda is notice of motions. Motions. I'm going to go to the town-wide speed limit. I'm presuming that Councillor DeBoer would like to hold that. Thank you. The Alton Mechanics Institute. You'd like to hold that? Councillor Shaughnessy? Okay. So we will start then with the Bolton Business Improvement Area proposed 2016 operating budget. Councillor Mezzapelli. Sorry, I'm going to read the motion and put it forward first. The report CS 2016-06 regarding Bolton Business Improvement Area proposed 2016 operating budget be received, and that the Bolton Business Improvement Area BIA 2016 operating budget in the amount of $78,600 be approved as outlined in Appendix A of report CS 2016-06, and that the Bolton BIA 2016 operating budget be funded by A, a special tax levy rate of $56,000 to be included in the 2016 final tax levy bylaw, and B, $7,975 in general event revenues, and C, a carryover of the 2015 surplus of $14,625. That the town staff be authorized to advance one quarter of the Bolton BIA's 2016 special tax rate levy in the amount of $14,000 to the Bolton Business Improvement Area Board of Management on March 4th, 2016, and that town staff be authorized to advance the next one quarter of the Bolton BIA's 2016 special tax rate levy in the amount of $14,000 to the Bolton Business Improvement Area Board of Management on or after May 6, 2016, upon receipt of the 2015 audited financial statements, and that the town staff be authorized to issue the balance of the special tax levy in the amount of $28,000 to the Bolton BIA Board equally after the last two tax installments due dates on July 8, 2016 and September 2, 2016, subject to the receipt of the 2015 audited financial statements. Councillor Mezzapelli. Oh, can I have a seconder before we start? Mayor Thompson.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. I support the report as recommended by staff. I just wanted to, draw to Council's attention page 3 of 3 of the report, the second paragraph, and this is something that was expressed at the BIA meeting when the budget was passed. You know, the first sentence reads that funding of operating budgets from previous surpluses is not sustainable in the long term. So the cautionary note was raised. Certainly resonated with myself. So I do support the budget as staff have recommended, although I do want to make the note that there is cautionary notes for subsequent BIA budgets. They do rely on carryovers and revenues, which may not be realized. So I'm not necessarily asking staff to speak to it, but I just wanted to note it, and it certainly is a concern I have going forward. Thank you.
Ms. Tollett, did you want to make any comments? Okay. All those in favor? Motion carried. And to the next, PW 2016-02 regarding status report, Johnson Barn. That report PW 2016-02 regarding status report, Johnson Barn, be received, and that option one, demolition, be selected as the preferred option as outlined in staff report PW 2016-02 for the Johnson Barn project, and that staff be directed to bring forward a new capital project in the amount of $39,600 to complete option one demolition as outlined in staff report PW 2016-02 during the 2017 budget process. Can I have a seconder? No. Why? I thought you said it didn't. I need a mover of the motion, and I don't think that Councillor DeBoer can move it. Councillor Downey? And a seconder? Mayor Thompson? Councillor DeBoer, you're on the board first.
Okay, thanks. Comes as a pretty big surprise, because I don't think any of the discussion around here has been about the removal of the building. So I'm just wondering if we could get some more information on how we ended up here.
Mr. Leverage.
Through you, Chair, to Councillor DeBoer. So the project last year was to make the barn safe and to remove side buildings or access buildings that were unsafe at the time. And we were asked to make an evaluation of the Johnson Barn itself and bring that solution back to council. So we've completed that evaluation, had an engineering study completed of the barn. And the options, we asked the engineering company to bring forward various options for us to review and to take a look at. And the three options that we've brought forward are those options that were brought forward by the engineering company. And our recommendation at this point is that the barn should be demolished.
Yeah, I totally disagree with staff's opinion. I'm not sure we've got one department requiring communities and neighbors to preserve heritage. This is a heritage building as far as agriculture is concerned. So I don't know if that was taken into account at all.
Through the chair to you, Councillor DeBoer, we checked with our heritage department. This is not a listed heritage building. It's not a it's not on the heritage register for the future. So we're not aware that this is a heritage facility.
It's not a heritage. It's part of the heritage of the community. I'm going to put a motion on the floor to ask if this report be referred back to staff. I totally disagree with the opinions here. I think we need to really have a good look at the future purposes of the building and the future purposes of the entire site. We've got a number of people and businesses within our community that repurpose these buildings, some of them for market gardens, garden centers. I've got a company that operated a very successful landscape business out of an old bank barn and made it work very well. We've got a bank barn up in Caledon that is one of the 25 top places in Canada to have a wedding. We've got other venues that way. So I'm going to ask that this report be referred back to staff.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Can we just, before we move forward, I just need clarification on referring it back to staff. Is there direction in the referral?
I would want to refer it back to staff so that we can have a larger discussion around the future of the site and how this barn would play within the future of the site. I would also ask the CAO maybe to consider as to whether we should be looking at this barn, the barn and the buildings and what's left on the site as part of the operation of the entire property. The soccer field's on the front, but we've got roughly half of that property is for passive recreation, and what's the purpose for our community. What does our community want to see there? So I'm thinking that it did come up as part of the council work plan that Sarah worked on as to the interest of the site, and this kind of a building would be key to any new activity. So I'd ask whether the CAO could look at whether this needs to be dealt with as part of a bigger project.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder for that motion? Mayor Thompson? And Mayor Thompson, would you like to speak to that referral?
Thank you. With the structural assessment group with James Knight and Associates, they do not have the expertise to understand a farm belt structure. So that's why we suggested that post-construction do a reassessment. And that was our understanding, is we bring the experts in that really understand to do it. Instead, it's James Knight again, 2015. And previously, they even said when we questioned them on the report was, we don't do barn structures. So, like, I'm at a loss. Two, I'm at a loss, is I agree with Councillor DeBoer, is for 4 years now, we've been trying to get a driveway into that place for fire emergency services and everything. We beat the living daylights out of our residents not complying, and we as a town cannot even comply. And I don't know how many times Sierra Excavating's been in there doing the fields. We can't get a driveway built into that premises. If there's a fire, there's no way of getting to those buildings. And we're supposed to lead by example. So that was supposed to have been done. And can I get an answer of why we have not got a driveway into that premises and what the long-term plan is? And I understand where you're going, but I just question why we went back to James Knight and Associates versus when we had post-construction that we were had requested as a council motion.
Sorry, Mayor Thompson, we have to speak only to the referral, but those are good comments, so perhaps we can bring up during council inquiry and ask Mr. Leverage to ask those questions at that point in time.
All right. So what we can do at that point. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else to speak to the referral? Councillor Beffert?
Well, I think it's to the referral. It's actually a point of clarification with a direction for the referral, so you'll tell me if I'm on track or not. I'm going to tax the memory of some of those people on council have been here for a while, but at one point we had an overview of particularly the basement in that barn. And I remember being educated that day about the fact that what it does when there's cattle in there and how that maintains the strength and integrity of that particular barn. And I believe there were some recommendations. And my understanding back then was we were going to use that barn for storage for some of our own purposes. And so I guess when we do this deferral or referral, I'd like that considered as to what we were led to believe at that time and why all of a sudden there's been a switch. Because apparently, if I remember correctly, then Nick, maybe you can help me here, that there was sufficient integrity that we didn't have to destroy the walls and we were going to be able to store some of our maintenance equipment in there. So I'd just like that to be considered when we go through this again. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. I have no problem with this being referred back to staff and the direction to provide more information. I think it's imperative for this council to make a decision that it is a real comprehensive background. I know when we went through the exercise of the Orange Lodge, there was the Caledon East campus plan, which basically, I don't know whether this would fall in the jurisdiction, I guess it wouldn't. But for the town's purposes, what the needs or requirements are of such a facility, to me would be helpful in determining whether it is something that we want to retain and refurbish. The other thing I wonder is, and I wasn't on council at the time that this was acquired, but were there any conditions on that sale that maybe spoke to that structure that might have implications here? We would want to make sure that we check that off too as well. All I'm asking for is a comprehensive report back. If we're going to look at whether this thing gets torn down or rebuilt or repurposed into what, we need to have fulsome information to make that decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McClure.
Yes, to me that building's an antique as far as keeping animals in there. There's many barns like that in the country, but for our purposes, it could be used for some kind of storage. And those type of buildings, they last a long time. You think it's falling down, but you know what? Putting a few boards in the barn and plastering up the walls of the foundation, it'll last most of the councillors here. I'd be in favor of repairing it and fixing it up. It can't cost that much. Thanks.
Thank you. Seeing other speakers, I'll just make my comments as the regional councillor for the area. The idea of knowing what the campus plan is for this location has been mentioned before. I think that we do need to have our plan for what Johnson Sports Park is going to be and whether or not this barn will be useful to us moving forward. Also, the points that Mayor Thompson raised, I would hope would be reflected in the report, considering the need for the driveway for emergency access, as well as the engineers that were used and why they were used and why the engineers that council directed were not used at that point in time. And also, I would request that prior to the report coming back, that the two local councillors are consulted on this, because it's disappointing that a report that does have such a connection to the community would come forward without the local councillors being consulted on it prior to seeing it for the first time on the council agenda. That being said, all those in favor of the referral? Carried. So now, in order to deal with the townwide speed limit review, we have to have a two-thirds majority to reopen. So by Councillor DeBoer, motion to reconsider townwide speed limit review, that in accordance with Part 11 of the Town's Procedural Bylaw, Resolution 2015-502, adopted on December the 22nd, 2015, concerning the townwide speed limit review, be reconsidered. I need a seconder. Mayor Thompson? All those in favor? I need a show of hands because we need two-thirds to open it. Yes. That's carried. So townwide speed limit review, Councillor DeBoer. Whereas the town Caledon conducted a townwide speed limit review in October 2015, and whereas the final report was presented to council in December 2015 with a number of recommendations, now therefore be it resolved that all speed zones within the village and hamlets in the town of Caledon be established at a 40 kilometer an hour, and further that all reductions of speed as recommended in the final townwide speed limit review dated October 2015 as presented to council on December 22nd, 2015 be approved. And further, that the Director of Public Works report back to Council with both a detailed implementation plan and the required traffic bylaw amendments. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Shaughnessy. And Councillor DeBoer is first on the board to speak.
Basically, this is to implement what we had discussed or what was discussed with regards to the reductions. The reductions were primarily in some sensitive areas. And including the gravel roads, I believe, from the original report, which is also attached to this. I brought it back so that we can address some of those concerns. Increasing the speed limits is not something that my residents have been asking for, and rather than carrying on any farther, the resolution is exactly to deliver what we had discussed when it was brought forward the first time.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson?
Yes, when we had our Winterfest over at Mayfield Secondary School the first weekend in January, I had a number of residents, total of eight different individuals I had discussion with, and I have to say they were from Ward 2, I get that, but they were quite upset that the report wasn't implemented. There were spots where the roads were too low, and there are a lot of spots for the roads to be lowered. I'm going to tell you, I understand where Councillor DeBoer is coming from, and I understand where Councillor Shaughnessy is coming from, but I also see from the issues of Ward 2 and having spoken with both of my councillors from that area, is they would like to see the whole thing implemented for Ward 2 as it was studied. So I was willing to reopen it, but the discussion I was saying is it's got to be site-specific for certain areas. I don't think the Ward 2 and our councillors are going to be very supportive of this issue if it's only dropping the speed limits and not increasing where they need to be increased. It was a good balanced report, especially for the Ward 2 area. And I know we worked on this for a long time, and I pushed hard as the regional councillor to bring this to the table to have the studies done on it because we knew we had severe problems. That's my say.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Great. Thank you very much. I respectfully disagree with our mayor on this, especially after coming back from FCM in Ottawa where we did the complete streets for a day. Absolutely amazing. We have to get those slides for the other councillors who weren't there. A really great company from Netherlands who also does Ottawa streets and a lot of them in the States. And what they promote is that speed limits, you actually design roads for less than the posted speed limit. So if a road is 40 kilometers, the speed limit is 50 because we always know people always go 10 over. But people will stay to whatever the road allows them to do. So you make them windy, you make them narrow, you take out the lines in the middle so people don't feel quite so comfortable. But the big thing was narrowing down the streets. And they took a lot of streets in Ottawa that were four lane, and they widened the sidewalks, put bicycle lanes on either side, and took them down to two lanes. And guess what? It worked. So even looking forward at cycling here in Caledon, we don't need to widen the roads. We actually can make them narrower, which will automatically slow people down. What I'm going to say is that Nick DeBoer's motion doesn't stop the mayor or the other councillors of Ward 2 implementing a higher speed where they believe necessary. All Nick's motion is doing is let's put on the table what we agreed with. We agreed that the villages need to be down at 40 kilometers and that anywhere where they were automatically going lower, that was okay. But if you wanted to in the future raise the speed limits, I'm sure you could. So my thought is we want to slow people down in Caledon. Caledon's a beautiful place. Let's somehow get them to smell the roses and slow down. So I will be supporting Nick DeBoer on this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. This is always a difficult one because, you know, it's difficult to stand here as a councillor and support speed limits going up. But I will be the first to admit I don't have the expertise or the authority to determine whether that's the right thing or not to do. And that's why we retain consultants who specialize in that. And that's what was done. And I asked the very direct question, as counterintuitive as it may be, could raising the speed limit 10 kilometers an hour actually make that road safer? And the answer was yes. So as a counselor who doesn't have the education or the expertise to say whether that is true or not, to someone who does, that I won't take your advice, I won't do that as a counselor. So I won't support it. I do want to make the point of commenting to Councillor Shaughnessy's comment, and what you're saying about narrowing the roads, that's exactly what the consultant said. That's exactly what Mr. Lover said, is people will drive the speed limits on how that road is configured. So if you make it wide and pave the shoulders, there is going to be a chance that people are going to travel at a higher rate of speed. Whereas if it's narrower, windier, hills, whatever, they will travel at a slower rate of speed. So in essence, what you're suggesting is very much in keeping with what the consultant said, is but until such time as you change the layout of that road, it will continue to have the characteristics of a road which in some cases might permit a higher speed limit. So for those reasons, I am going to respectfully not vote in favor of the reconsideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert.
We're back to where we were during budget discussions. I remember at the time listening to everything that was going on and saying that I was having difficulty getting my head around what was being presented to me. I didn't say it was wrong. I said I was having trouble getting my head around it, and I still am. And I guess what I'm recommending, I see what Nick or Councillor DeBoer is suggesting here, is that certainly for the villages, there seemed to be an agreement about the fact that they all should be the same. And there are some roads, the gravel roads in particular, where we need to reduce the... So I guess I'm of two minds. Number one, if there is somebody out there that could take us a step closer to understanding that what has been presented to us really does work with these slides or whatever it was at FCM, I'd like to recommend that we have them come here and show us that in support of what was presented to us earlier. I think that would be great. If not, I see what Councillor DeBoer is putting forward as a best way to at least put into place some of the things that we all agreed with, and that is the villages and the gravel road. So I will support it, but I would like to request that we have a presentation from this other consultant or group that may help us to solidify our thinking about the rest of them, which is where I think the problem is right now.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
I want to also conclude that we had a meeting with residents of Centerville Creek Road, people who want to walk on the side of their roads where they live. We don't enjoy sidewalks, and they couldn't because the 85 percentile, I think, during that staff report was 90 kilometers an hour. Yes, the consultants made the comment that potentially increasing the speed limit makes it safer, but for who? Makes it safer for the drivers. Doesn't make it safer for the people that live in our community. Doesn't make it safer for the people who use the roads for recreational purposes because we don't have sidewalks. It doesn't make it safer for the people that pay the taxes here in this community. If there's areas, and I know in the Peel Plain when you get Airport Road and Airport Road and toward the west and to the south, there's some stretches there where you can see from one concession to the next. I don't have those concession blocks in any of my ward. And the only area that is close to that is the Centerville Creek area where the people that we met with that filled this council chambers live. And these are people who want to enjoy where they're living for a little while longer because the traffic is just getting higher and higher speeds. And these aren't people that live here. These are people that are just in a big hurry to pass through. And I think this is where we've got to look at, yes, the TAC guidelines are a recommendation, but I think it's what we have to put in as what we support as part of our community. And the fact that we move farm equipment on our roads that don't move very fast. I've had cars try and pass me in between hills because they weren't paying attention and drive too fast and came very close to hydro poles because they drive too fast. All weekend I spend with watching bicycles in the summertime. It's every weekend on a lot of our roads. There are bicycles. They come, a car at 80 kilometers an hour coming over the crest of a hill, and when you've got a group of bicycles taking up basically the full lane, which under the Highway Traffic Act they are fully legal to do, end up causing grief for the car having to slow down real quick or taking another lane on a blind hill. I've stopped and talked to drivers who passed where I'd be doing just a little bit over the speed limit, but they pass me just to see what they do. And their comment is well, that it's a single yellow solid line I'm allowed to pass because it means that you can pass when it's safe. Not understanding at all that a single solid yellow line is in force and effect the same as a double solid line because people do not understand the responsibilities of driving. And if they're driving through my community, they're going to drive at the speed limit our community decides is important. And that is so they can still enjoy the rural roads where they live. When you get kids walking on the side of the road or bicycling to their neighbors for exactly the same reason, and you want cars to drive by them at 80, 90 kilometers an hour, because everybody knows that drivers driving through the area are going to do 20 over, regardless of what the posted speed limit is, because they're sitting in a car that, in all likelihood, if they go into a ditch at 80 kilometers an hour, they'll walk away from it. But if the person's standing in front of it, not likely. It's the same with farm equipment. We get lots of tractors and in other parts of Ontario that get hit in accidents just because cars don't slow down or don't have the patience. Our rural roads are meant for the people that live there. They're meant for the businesses that operate there, not as a commuter route. And I think this is one way that we can start to address that. And if there are areas that the speed limit should be higher and there's the opinion of the neighbors and the councillors that are in that area, they can do that. And they're fully within their ability and their right to do that. This is implementing what, in my area, suggests is that the posted speed limit is good. The areas that need to reduce, which is exactly why this came originally, because I had gravel roads in my ward that were still unposted and they were a legal 80 kilometers an hour. And that's what I asked to have investigated to find out how we can get these roads back down. And I was told, well, we're doing a review of all the roads. I didn't realize we were doing a review of all the roads so they can go up, too. I was looking to get the gravel roads posted at a speed limit that was reasonable. So that is the reason why this came forward. It came out of the discussion that we had. I know we have to do something before we get into the next summer session and before the recreation comes back out, and that is to address the speed limits on the gravel roads, which is what I started out to do when this was brought forward the first time.
Thank you, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis, and I appreciate Councillor DeBoer's passion in raising this. And the one thing I do see good about this, if it does pass, is that it will implement some of the changes that aren't contentious to Council, where some, I think 10% or 12% were going to be reduced. So it will implement those. Whereas previously it was just in limbo. The two quick points, Chair Ennis. One is, you know, the notion of implementing this in some wards and not others. Philosophically, I have a challenge with that because there should be guidelines that we take into consideration. And I do respect that some of Ward 2 may be flat and open. And I would hope that that would be reflected in the report that, you know, it's flat, it's straight, no horizontal or vertical deviations, and that should come into play in what the recommended posted speed limit is. So a little hesitant to support having different criteria in different wards. The data should speak for themselves and influence those speed limits. The last point I wanted to make, and Councillor Beffert talked about more information, and if more information is forthcoming, something I would like to see is in other jurisdictions where these TAC guidelines have been implemented and where there have been instances where the posted speed limit was increased, is there data after the fact that follows speed limit data to show whether indeed it does shore up the range of speed limits? And was there any increase in posted or in actual speed limits as a result of an increase in posted speed limit? I'd be very interested to see that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mazzapelli. Mayor Thompson.
Well, my question is here we go. I don't disagree with where Councillor DeBoer is coming for his ward, and I understand that totally, but I'm trying to look at the balance for all wards here, and all of a sudden we cherry pick through this, then all of a sudden we're going to have 2/3 of a vote again to bring it forward for the councillors in Ward 2 to get their issues resolved. So I'm just saying, are we better to refer it back and let council figure out, let the ward councillors work through what works for them before we vote on it? Because we're going to be opening this thing up again. I'm sure Councillor Downey and McClure might come back forward, because I do know there's a huge outcry of what's happening in that area. I'm not getting this report approved. But I do understand the concerns that have happened. So I guess that's what I'm looking for staff. Direction for staff is, what happens here? If we support this today, then I mean that doesn't allow Ward 2 to get their issues supported?
So Mayor Thompson, are you suggesting a referral? Are you putting a motion on the floor to refer it?
I would. That's what I'm just saying. Is that an option so we can get a balanced report coming back that requires it for everybody? I'll put it forward.
You put a motion forward?
I'll put a motion forward and see where it goes.
Can I have a seconder? Councillor Downey? Would anybody like to speak to the referral? Councillor Beffert?
I would support a referral as long as it came with an understanding that we have an education component. I'm not sure what that means. But if there's information out there that can help us, I'd like to see it before we make this decision again.
Sorry, the board's all. Councillor Shaughnessy?
Well, I was going to ask the clerk because I don't think it needs a 2/3 vote, because we're not reopening up the whole townwide. So if our Area 2 councillors, who are obviously Oh, gee, I just said you're an Area 2 counselor, Ward 2 counselors, want to bring forward the change in theirs. I don't think it would require a two-thirds vote because we're not talking about something that's townwide. We're talking about something that's individual. Can we have clarification?
Thank you, through Chair Innes to Councillor Shaughnessy. That is correct. So a notice of motion was required today because you were reconsidering the entire previous report. However, at times, if someone would like to wishes to bring upon a certain road, they could do that without a reconsideration.
Right.
However, if a member of council wishes to take a large chunk of that report to increase speed limits, and a motion of reconsideration would be required.
Right. Okay. So that hopefully gives our mayor some comfort that he could come forward. So as passionate as he is about Ward 2, saying it's great to have those speed limits raised, the Ward 1, which is all the hills and the Niagara Escarpment, we can't do that. So that's where we said we needed to have different speeds for different areas. And my counselor on my left, Rob, when that report was brought forward by that other company, they never took into consideration the horses that are on the road or the trails that cross by roads or the fact that there was farm machinery or the fact that people were out walking on the roads with no sidewalks. I think that's a big difference in Ward 1 and probably Ward 2, but Ward 2 is flat. My ward is not. So I could never support going up speed-wise. So do you feel better, Mr. Mayor, that you could bring it forward if you wanted to?
Mayor Thompson?
Yeah. No, the reason why I was looking for the referral back is I hear where Councillor DeBoer is wanting to go, but I know when there's a public meeting here, I think we got a lot of the trailways did come up. We did have a few people passionate about that, but we also had it with farm machinery acknowledgement as well. But I know we got a lot of road reconstruction, but there has been a lot of speed limits that have been politically not sound, and to me this report did cover that. All I'm just saying is that now that we've opened it up, and I know where Councillor DeBoer is come spring, I was just wondering, can we refer it back so that all of us as council can just sit there and go through your road sheets to make sure, does this make sense? Come back with a final report and say, this is what it is. We saw what the engineers are saying. Now let's have a council decision on what it looks like.
Councillor DeBoer?
I did exactly that. I looked at all of the roads. And then, in fact, just on top of it, we had the people from... And you were here at the meeting from Centerville Creek Road that came back and said exactly the same thing. And we've seen what it was. I did exactly that and looked at what made sense and what didn't make sense. And the fact that the increases in a lot of those areas didn't make sense just because of the fact that it didn't take into account what there is within the community. From an engineering standpoint of view, I guess it probably made sense. But knowing the people that live on the roads, knowing the activity that happens on the roads, they didn't make sense. So for me, I'm not going to come to a different conclusion from the last one report that we had. This one was to try and implement some of the decreases that we need. A gravel road at 80, people do 80 because it's not posted. And I had residents complain that they had cars coming over a hill onto a blind laneway at 80 kilometers an hour on a gravel road. And these are people that don't drive gravel roads normally. They just like to go flying across a gravel road. And you know how hard it is to keep control of a car on a gravel road because people don't see a speed limit, they know, just go 80. So, I think it's something that we've got to start doing. I think if there's areas within Ward 2, Torbram, I'm trying to think of the roads offhand, Torbram, and there's a number of them there that would probably warrant it. And I think if the two councillors want to bring those forward, I would have no trouble supporting them where they make the most sense. Politically, I don't think I've ever sat at this council table and decided a speed limit on any of the roads in Caledon. They've always been what they were. I don't think that the statement to say that they were politically motivated, we never talked about a speed limit. We've always stayed away from all-way stops as well. We've never politically put in all-way stops. I certainly haven't, and I don't think I've ever supported one that was here that was politically motivated. So to make that statement, I don't agree. We haven't, and I certainly haven't participated in it. and don't really know where, and trying to come up with examples within my ward where that probably has happened as I went through the list when we had the original report. So I still think that this is a starting point. I am glad that the clerk concurs with the fact that if we wanted to, as council, look at other locations where it makes sense to look at a higher speed limit or another speed limit, that we can do that as well, so without having to reopen it. So I think we can support what we've got here, not support the idea of referring it back. Let's address what we've got as a starting point here. This is a starting point. You can go back and have a look at other locations within your wards. And if it happens to agree with what the report said originally, then I think there's merit to allowing those ones to move ahead and move forward and move up if they need to be.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli, speaking to the referral.
Yes, thank you, Chair Ennis. I would support a referral, any opportunity to get more information. I can't see as being a harm. I know, you know, Councillor DeBoer even talked about still not being 100% certain as to, you know, the implications of potentially increasing a speed limit. And so I need to see no harm in giving staff the time to provide that to council satisfaction. I recognize that it may not change some opinions. I can respect that. But there are those that are asking for more information, I being one of them. And I would hope as direction, if a referral is made, that some of the questions that have been asked by Councillor Beffert, myself, do get reflected. And Councillor Shaughnessy, if there's some uses that are happening on our roads that weren't reflected, would that consultant be able to speak to that? And what, if any, impact that might have? To me, getting information like that, I'm worth voting in favor of waiting for that information and prior to myself making a decision. Thank you.
Councillor Downey, speaking to the referral, please.
Yeah, thank you, through you, Chair. I'm comfortable supporting the referral for a couple of reasons, in that I'm also happy to bring back any of my roads where we have issues one by one, as I mentioned during the budget discussion. I guess my only concern is that if we start to piecemeal ward by ward, we're losing the integrity of the report and the information that we've been given. And it becomes piecemeal once again, and then we have a system that is not consistent across the board, and then our staff have issues enforcing and then backing that up when you have people speeding and having traffic enforcement, things like that. So I would support the referral, and I think it gives every councillor the opportunity to go back, look at the road lists, figure out exactly what their issues are, and bring it back all together so that we're not cutting it up and ending up with something that is just not workable.
Councillor McClure?
Yes, I would support the referral too. There's always going to be places where the speed should be lowered, and maybe other places where the speed could be expanded. So there's always, we always have to change things. We always should be open to change.
Councillor Beffert.
Well, again, I'm supportive of the referral. I guess there's still one area that I think there's a common agreement, and that's the villages. It made it clear that 40 kilometers an hour for the villages, and I guess what I'd like to see is us refer it back to take a look at all of these north, south, east, west roads, but let's do the villages because the people are waiting. And I think that's something that perhaps we could put into that motion, that we refer it back with the exception of the villages where we immediately implement 40 kilometers an hour.
Thank you. So I guess I'm somewhat confused because the motion that was presented by Councillor DeBoer puts in place all of the things that everybody around this table has just said that they agree with, and everything that it doesn't is set aside. And if somebody or a council member would like to bring those issues forward, then that's what they should be doing as a whole instead of referring it back, because you're going to refer it back and we're going to have the same answer. The same answer is going to come back. The engineer and the consultants are going to stand there in front of us and give us the exact same answers that we have in the report, and we're going to be no further ahead. I personally feel like referring it is quite frankly a waste of time to put us back into the same position. That engineer and consultants aren't going to change their mind about the speed limits. I've had We had, I don't know, how many, 40 residents sitting here from Centerville Creek Road complaining about truck traffic and the speed on their roads. This isn't going to solve the problem by increasing the speed limit on that section of road. So I'm speaking against the referral because I feel like we have a motion before us that appeases what everybody agrees to, and should individual ward councillors wish to bring forward the recommendations and fully support the implementation of the recommendations for their ward specifically, we've already heard from the clerk that you don't need two-thirds to open it. So I, with that being said, I will also say that when this, give direction to staff, that when this comes forward to the next council meeting, that I would like it to be a recorded vote as well, please. That being said, all those in favor of the referral? All those opposed? Fails. Motion fails. Back to the main motion. Does anybody like to speak to the main motion prior to the vote? All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carried. On to the Alton Mechanic Institute, Councillor Shaughnessy. Whereas the Alton Mechanics Institute and library located at 1456 and 1460 Queen Street West in Alton was built in 1882, and whereas Council authorized an encroachment agreement between the town and the property owner to permit exterior maintenance to the building, and whereas in accordance with the town's fees bylaw and the following fees are required to execute the encroachment agreement: one-time encroachment fee, $282.50, preparation of encroachment agreement, $1,146.95, TerraView prep and registration, $297.30, for a total of $1,726.75. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the fee for the one-time encroachment fee and preparation of the encroachment agreement in the amount of $1,429.45 be waived. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Yes, I'll just quickly speak to this. It is from 1882. It's the corner of the building. As the town grew and expanded their road, it got caught within the allowance. But also what's not shown here, I just wanted my councillors to know, is that as the road was rebuilt and it sits on a corner, the grade is such that it poured all the water back to the historical base of the building. And the people who got this building, it was in really disrepair and was close to falling down, and they've repaired the base and repaired the grade of the land caused by the road being built up higher, and they've already put out $6,000 to rectify that situation. They're quite happy to pay for the registration, but they think, in all fairness, due to the fact that the building's been there since 1882 and the damage was done because of the road grade, that should suffice. So I'm happy to hear any questions that my councillors might have.
Thank you. And as a seconder, it will be Councillor Beffert, and you're next to speak.
Thank you very much. I've spent time out at this particular issue over the years. It's a notable building, and I guess I'm just a little bit confused, and I'd like some clarification between the motion and the memorandum. The memorandum says that we waive the annual encroachment fee of $250. My first question is, did that increase to $280, $250 after our budget deliberations? Is that the same fee?
Through you, Chair Innes, to Councillor Beffert, the annual encroachment fee was a fee that we would charge everyone for annually for an encroachment. That actually has been subsequently removed in 2016 from your fees bylaw, but at the time of the encroachment, when the report came forward, we recommended that that annual fee be removed. The actual fee for the one-time encroachment fee is the actual charge for that encroachment, just a one-time, so they are different fees.
Okay, thank you. And I guess my second question is, with regard to the breakdown of one-time fee, preparation fee, and so on, was the owner aware that these fees were in place when the encroachment fee was waived by the town?
Through you, Councillor, through you, Chair Innes, to Councillor Bedford. I can't speak for staff. I'm not sure that if they were aware, however they are, those fees were applicable as to the fees bylaw. So I'm assuming those conversations were had, but the staff member who was responsible for that is not here any longer.
The difficulty I'm having is that I understand the memorandum says that, you know, that everybody has to pick up the pieces for somebody who wants to do some work. On the other hand, if it was made very clear at the time that this encroachment agreement was made that there were these fees and in order to do the work you had to pay these fees, you know, I'm not sure which way it was. And, you know, I'd like to the gentleman's working real hard on this notable building to keep it a notable building. And so I think we should do whatever we can to help him. I just want to make sure that we're not going against something that he knew about right from the very beginning.
Through you, Chair Innes, to Councillor Bedford. He did.
Sorry, Councillor Shaughnessy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Innes. So the owner did fill in an application form. So I am assuming at that time, the process was explained to the owner.
Okay. So, in other words, he would have known by filling in the forms that in order to do the work, he would have to pay an additional fee to the town, like anybody else would do.
Without confirming with the owner, I would suspect so.
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Looking at Satan, and I respect the fact that it's a historical building, and following the history that Councillor Shaughnessy has raised, and you know, we can't turn back the clock, but if indeed they had to undertake any work on behalf or as a result of the work the town HUD did, rightfully so, I would have supported and voted for the town compensating them for any work that we caused them to do as a result of our work. With respect to waiving the fees, I am having a challenge doing it because I have to recognize that there are others who have paid these fees. And they may have similar cases where they feel, well, then I should have been afforded the same privilege or right. So I find it very difficult when there are others who have paid this fee. And what I would be much more comfortable doing is if we had a policy that blanketly applied, you either were successful or you weren't, but there was a policy that addressed it. Individually dealing with these one-on-one, I struggle with that because at some point someone's going to come back and say, look, you did it for them. How could you not do it for me? I respect that they're trying to put work or money and resources into a beautiful building. I have been by it. But as far as the waiving of the fees are concerned, and I understand it's not just the Mechanics Institute, it's also the adjoining property, which I believe is a private residence. So for those reasons, I cannot support, you know, an individual one. I say that with the greatest amount of respect, particularly to the ward councillors in Ward 1. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Chair. I'm just wondering if the proponent has made any steps to apply for the heritage grant for the building. It is something that is available to all heritage building owners, and maybe something that they could look into to offset their costs as opposed to having fees waived at the counter.
Thank you, Councillor Downey. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hear what Councillor Mazzapelli is saying, and I agree we should have some sort of a policy in place to deal with these sorts of things. But I know at the region we have in the past and waive encroachment fees based on certain situations, circumstance. I would be supporting waiving the fees for this one time on this particular matter, but I think moving forward we do need to have some kind of policy in place that maybe sets out a criteria that if we have others coming to us, there's a set of criteria that we can use to determine whether or not we waive fees. So I I know there's a lot of things that happen in the past, and some of these things just need cleaning up, tidying up, and sometimes it's no fault of the property owners, but it's just oversight maybe on our part. I think Councillor Shaughnessy, you said things have changed, the configuration of the road, things like that. Those things change, and it really isn't within the controls of the property owners. I think that's what you said, Councillor Shaughnessy, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. So in this case, I think I would be, I'll be supporting waiving the fees.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
There was just some, when I spoke, when this came to council and it came, went through, I spoke to the residents after the fact, and he was shocked. He knew there was an encroachment fee of the $200 and some. He had no idea it was all the legal stuff that went on it after that. So if that helps any of my counselors with what the resident knew and didn't know, he didn't know. And yeah, they probably could have come back and asked for some of the money with the damage to the building, but do we really want to go there? We don't. I just suggested that we scrap the legal fees and do the encroachment, because the building was there long before the town of Callum was ever there. And I think we have to do everything we can to maintain these wonderful buildings standing, and we actually get somebody who wants to do it. I think that's admirable. Anyways, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
I guess the question to staff, if there's a recollection as to whether we've waived fees in another situation or somewhat a situation similar to this, if the applicant did or should have known, knowing that there was the fee for the encroachment fee, but the fact that a legal document would have to be prepared and it wasn't maybe conveyed to them to know that that part would be also a fee they would have to endure. I don't know if there's any parallels anywhere.
Through you to Chair Avis, to members of council, not in my recollection. I know a number of times when you have considered reports, we've encouraged the waiving of the annual encroachment fee. However, I don't recollect. I can pass along to my colleague, Ms. Tollett, but I don't think the actual legal fees or the preparation of those agreements have been waived.
The legal document would have to be completed only once, correct?
That is correct.
And you say there is precedent that we have waived the encroachment fees in the past?
Through you, Chair Anista, Councillor DeBoer, yes, the actual annual encroachment fee, which is no longer now in your fees bylaw. So the encroachment, the legal fees include staff taking the time to prepare the staff report, to do the research on the property, to go out and do a site visit. So it's not just preparing this specific agreement, but all the hours and time for the specific agreement. And that's meant for, again, it's a specific product for a specific resident, not for every member of the public to be to experience that service. So that is why the fee is charged to them.
Okay. So then you're asking for only a portion of the fees to be waived, but you're asking for probably what I would say the wrong portion. The one-time encroachment fee, which is out of the bylaws, should be waived. The preparation of the legal agreement should actually be a fee that's received. Would that be am I interpreting that right? Like you're only asking to waive $1,429 worth of fees, where the total is $1,726. I'm just trying to do the math to figure out where the 14 comes from.
So through Chair Anista, Councillor DeBoer, the fee comes from, from what I understand, Councillor Shaughnessy's intent is that the owner would then only prepare the or only pay the out-of-pocket costs for us for the TerraView equipment. However, the staff time and the encroachment fee, as well as the preparation of the encroachment agreement, would be waived.
Okay. Okay, I would be more supportive of where the annual fee, you say the annual fee is not in the fees bylaw anymore anyways.
So the annual fee has already been waived, so that's not for consideration
so that's not
at
an
this
issue.
Time. That's correct.
Okay, thanks.
Mayor Thompson.
I thought I had it figured out. Now I'm more confused than ever. So the legal fee is from the encroachment? If we didn't have the encroachment fee, would we have this legal fee? I guess that's what I'm trying to get. Or am I just thought this too much now?
So in 2015, in the fees bylaw, there was an annual encroachment agreement, so essentially charging rent for the public. So council, when they considered this encroachment agreement, decided to waive that fee. In 2016, we've eliminated that fee completely. These fees, so the one-time encroachment fee in the preparation of an encroachment agreements, is the charge associated with preparing the agreement and preparing that encroachment. So the legal fees, the title searches, the staff report, those fees all are encompassed in that.
Okay. So even with no encroachment fee today, if you had to do it, you'd still pay for that legal bill?
That is correct.
That's what I'm...
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. And it's just one further item, I guess, on the heel of Mayor Thompson's comments. I think Councillor Shaughnessy and Befford have a point if they suggest that the owner, in looking at an encroachment agreement, had no idea of what the full bill would be. And I don't know how to approach this, whether it's direction to staff, but if we can review the application for an encroachment, if these are standard fees that would apply to any encroachment agreement, that they are stated that they are there so that people recognize when they pick up the form what the bill is going to be when they walk out the door at the end of the day. I think that's fair to those who enter into these types of agreements.
Thank you, Councillor Mazzapelli. I would say that that is outlined in our fees bylaw policy. However, as the clerk has mentioned before, the staff who was responsible for it prior, we can't speak on their behalf of what they informed the resident or not. So I think if there's no other speakers, seeing none, then we'll call the question. All those in favor? Carried. The next item on the agenda is correspondence. Is there anything in the correspondence package that requires action? Seeing none. The next item on the agenda is confidential session. As mentioned at the start of this meeting, item ADM 2016-02 regarding TAP Land Holdings Incorporated settlement of claim was withdrawn. That concludes this meeting, and General Committee is now adjourned.